Two major developments related to the terror unleashed by the rogue regimes of Donald Trump and his terrorist friend, Benjamin Netanyahu. Iran has just claimed that it has targeted US aircraft carrier, USS Abraham Lincoln, with missiles and drones. The US Central Command denies the claim, but it doesn't explain why the USS Abraham Lincoln had to flee one more time. The US State Department has announced the suspension of operations in Kuwait after it failed to negotiate the barrage of Iranian missiles. Iran has meanwhile begun using one of its most advanced versions of ballistic missiles, Khurramshahr 4. This would be the focus of my video tonight. Also in tonight's video, Republican Congressman Thomas Massey ripping into Donald Trump for his depravity and genocidal intent with complete disregard for international law. So please stay tuned. American and Israeli terrorists have continued to bomb residential areas and civilian population in Iran all through the day. They have slaughtered more than 1,000 innocent people in the last 5 days. This was their real objective. Two mentally sick war criminals are doing what they are best at, murdering innocent civilians. Worse, they are even flaunting their depravity as some kind of heroic act. And they think this is going to earn them the respect from Iranians and even their own people in the US. But the Iranians are giving them a taste of their own medicine. Of course, you wouldn't know about the pain inflicted on them by the Iranians due to the ruthless censorship imposed by this medieval gang of baby killers. But there is enough evidence that shows that they are feeling the pinch of their genocidal action. The Iranian Revolutionary Guard today targeted the US aircraft carrier Abraham Lincoln after it tried to enter the Strait of Hormuz to facilitate the movement of oil tankers. But the Iranians were ready to welcome them with a barrage of ballistic missiles and drones. Fearing the unimaginable, the aircraft carrier had to flee. This is the second time this aircraft carrier has been forced to flee since Saturday. I'm told that the Iranians are determined to sink American warships after what they did to their frigate and its 100-plus sailors off the coast of Sri Lanka yesterday. Even the right-wing Indians are now finding this action horrible. This is Kamal Sibal, a former Foreign Secretary of India. I have always found his views on the Indian minorities utterly racist. But today, even he couldn't defend the American action. He wrote on Twitter, and I quote, "The Iranian ship will not be where it was if we had not invited it to take part in our Milan exercise. We were the host. I'm told that as per protocol for this exercise, ships cannot carry any ammunition. It was defenseless. The Iranian naval personnel had paraded before our president. The attack by the US submarine was premeditated as the US was aware of the Iranian ship's presence in the exercise, to which the US Navy was invited but withdrew from participation at the last minute, presumably with this operation in mind. The US has ignored India's sensitivities as the ship was in these waters because of India's invitation. We are far from politically or militarily responsible for the US attack. Our responsibility is at a moral and human plane. A word of condolence by the Indian Navy after political clearance at the loss of lives of those who were our invitees and saluted our president would be in order." End quote. These are the views of a known Modi supporter in India at the moment. The right-wing Indian media too has condemned the Americans for their audacity to sink an Iranian warship in the waters that are deemed under the influence of India. This is why the Iranians are desperate to sink as many American warships as possible. The Americans are already finding the goings-on in the Middle East tough. Today, the State Department publicly admitted that it was unable to cope with the barrage of Iranian missiles in Kuwait and therefore has decided to shut its diplomatic operations. So, the Americans have now shut operations at embassies in Saudi Arabia and Kuwait. Its Fifth Fleet headquarters in Bahrain has already been bombed into oblivion. Even in the settler colony, the US embassy openly told its citizens this week that they were on their own and the embassy wasn't going to help them in any way. But the thug, P, Pete Hegseth would tell you that America is winning the war. Yes, they are winning the war if you measure its success by the number of hospitals bombed and civilians slaughtered in indiscriminate bombings. Then the Iranians have now showcased their Khurram Shahr 4 missiles as they targeted the Ben Gurion airport today. This is quite a deadly missile with multiple warheads. This missile is also capable of carrying a nuclear warhead. This is precisely why many experts felt that Iran ought to have gone nuclear. But they refused, and today they would be realizing just how stupid they were. British professor David Miller, himself a proud Jew, feels that Zionist regime and its allies are fast running out of interceptor missiles, and this would begin to manifest alarmingly in the next few days. This is what he told the Press TV of Iran.
We're now reaching the stage after, what is it, 4 or 5 days in, that the air defense supplies, which have been supplied by the Americans to the Zionists, are about to run out. So they're running out so fast, in fact, that they've had to requisition spare air defense resources from South Korea because they can't make enough fast enough to replace them. So this is a disaster for the US, a disaster for the Zionists. They never anticipated that Iran would immediately attack 27 bases across 8 countries or so across the whole of West Asia, nor that they would be able to keep the focus on the Zionist entity itself and relentlessly bomb all their huge list of targets, which are still not finished.
It's very difficult to find any credible names in the West supporting the illegal invasion of Iran. Listen to General Sir Richard Shireff, former NATO commander. He has summed up the depravity of two notorious nutters, namely Trump and Netanyahu, so brilliantly.
Yeah, I can. All right. So Keir Starmer kept talking about the special relationship in action, and I was wondering if you thought whether the UK is doing enough.
Well, let's just squash any idea of a special relationship. It does not exist. It is a complete fantasy. America does what America wants to do, and Britain's got to look after its interests. And any relationship with America has got to be based on self-interest. So that's the first point. The second point I'd make is that Britain shooting down drones, Britain engaged in offensive or defensive operations is invidious, frankly. The fact is that if Britain is involved, our hand is in the mangle. And the so what out of that is that we should not in any way, shape or form be involved with the Americans closely, because they are being led by a couple of gung-ho nutters like Trump and Hegseth, without a proper strategy, without serious thought about what the end state for this war is. And unless we keep cool heads, as the Prime Minister is attempting to do, and think things through very, very carefully, this thing could go the way of Iraq, as your previous speaker, the former ambassador US ambassador in Bahrain, made very clearly in your earlier interview.
Well, that's interesting you say that. What is your major worry about the way that this is being conducted then?
Well, yet again, we have an American president who has gone to war, a war of choice, a war of hubris, frankly, without any clear idea of how the war ends, without any clear strategy. And as the Chinese philosopher, master of war, strategist Sun Tzu said, 2,500 years ago, tactics without strategy is the noise before defeat. So the Americans might be getting frightfully excited about sinking submarines and X number of missions, bombing the Iranians to bits. But unless there's a strategy, unless they've thought through the impact of what they are doing on the minds of the Iranian people, this thing is going to go south very, very quickly. And I'll give you a good example. The idea of so-called assassinating the Ayatollah Khamenei, who was not just Iran's head of state, but he was the religious symbol for Shiites worldwide, assassinating him during the month of Ramadan, frankly, is about as subtle as murdering the Pope on the steps of St. Peter's in Holy Week. It will inflame the Shiite world. And what you're doing by doing that is probably pushing large numbers of Iranians who might have been reconcilable, who might have thought about rising up, back into the folds of the irreconcilable.
Earlier today, I shared a warning from John Savers, a former head of MI6, and prominent diplomat, and his analysis on how Trump had completely miscalculated an Iranian response. And today, this former NATO commander is echoing his sentiments. Trump's frustration is making him take stupid and suicidal steps every single day. Today, we heard that the Americans were planning to launch a ground invasion into Iran. What this clown from the White House doesn't realize is that the Iranians are desperately waiting for this to happen. This would give them a perfect opportunity to successfully target American soldiers. Iranian Foreign Minister Seyed Abbas Araghchi wrote, and I quote, "Long prepared for this war, Iran's powerful armed forces are ensuring that it becomes a quagmire for whomever chooses to pursue it. We negotiated twice with this US administration. Both times we were attacked in the middle of talks. It bears full responsibility for bloodshed." End quote. Araghchi then added, and I quote, "Plan A for a clean, rapid military victory failed, Mr. President. Your plan B will be even bigger failure. The truth, chance for unique deal burnt after the America last cabal obscured significant progress we made in negotiations. Israel first always means America last." End quote. Here's what Araghchi told the American network, NBC.
"President Trump has not ruled out boots on the ground in Iran. Are you afraid of a U.S. invasion in your country?"
"No, we are waiting for them."
You are waiting for the U.S. military to invade the ground troops?"
"Yes, because we are confident that we can confront them, and that would be a big disaster for them."
Trita Parsi, a renowned Iranian expert, sees a dangerous parallel with Gaza and what the Israeli and American savages are doing in Iran. He says, and I quote, "Similarities between Israel's bombing of Gaza and Tehran are growing stronger. In both cases, it appears Israel is using AI without any human oversight. For instance, Israel has bombed a park in Tehran called Police Park. It has nothing to do with the police, but it appears AI identified it as a target since Israel is bombing all government-related buildings. No one in Israel bothered to check and find out that it is just a park." End quote. This should also be a reminder to those handful of cheerleaders in the West. These are the same people who oppose migration. If you are cheering the genocidal maniacs from the US and the settler colony of Israel for causing a carnage in Iran, be prepared to face the headache of unchecked migration from Iran when its population gets displaced by the indiscriminate bombings. Let's not forget the attacker of the Ariana Grande concert in Manchester in 2017 was a man of Libyan descent. You celebrated when the Western genocidal maniacs were busy bombing their country, forcing its population to find a safe refuge in Europe. They were quite happy and prosperous in their own country. But their prosperity became an eyesore for you. You keep repeating the same scene, country after country, and then hope this doesn't come to haunt you. Your celebration on the bombing of Iran today would come to haunt you in the form of the deluge of unchecked migration tomorrow. You will reap what you are sowing today. I will leave you with the clip of Thomas Massie's speech in Congress. Despite being a Republican lawmaker, he didn't mince words in condemning Trump for his reckless action. This explains why Trump has been working hard to ensure that Massie doesn't get re-elected to Congress. Watch this powerful speech by Thomas Massie.
"Mr. Speaker, James Madison wrote to Thomas Jefferson in 1789, "The Constitution supposes what the history of all governments demonstrates, that the executive branch of power is the most interested in war and most prone to it. It has accordingly, with studied care, vested the question of war in the legislature. The Constitution is clear. Article 1, Section 8, Clause 11 of our Constitution provides Congress initiatory powers of war. Article 2, Section 2, Clause 1 of our Constitution gives the President operational powers of war to wage that war. Even if this body were to pretend that the 1973 War Powers Resolution supersedes the clear language of the Constitution, the president still has not met the conditions required by that law itself. The 1973 War Powers Resolution states plainly that the president may only introduce U.S. armed forces into hostilities pursuant to three conditions. Either one, declaration of war, two, specific statutory authorization, or three, a national emergency created by an attack upon the United States. None of those conditions exist today. Iran has not attacked the United States, Congress has not declared war, and Congress has not granted specific statutory authorization. Beyond the constitutional question, here lies an even more important one. Why are we going to war with Iran? We owe our military service members a clear mission. And American families in my district want to know how this is going to help them pay for groceries. How does this make them any safer in their schools or in their neighborhoods? How does this help them pay for housing? Have we learned nothing from the laundry list of wars and regime change experiments we sparked across the Middle East that have racked up a total of at least $8 trillion of debt in Iraq, Libya, Syria, Afghanistan? A sustained war with Iran will not stabilize the region. It's already ignited the region. It will radicalize new generations of terrorists, and it will send more swarms of refugees into Europe and the United States. Iran is not Venezuela. The Ayatollah was not a president. He was a religious leader from a region notorious for radical Islamists. And the United States and Israel turned him into a martyr. And in the process of doing so, we've already expended billions of dollars, and more solemnly, six American families must now lay to rest their sons and daughters. And for what? This administration can't even give us a straight answer as to why we launched this preemptive war. The president says we had to strike first because an Iranian strike was imminent. Meanwhile, the Department of Defense conceded there was no evidence of an imminent Iranian strike. Some told us this war was about nuclear weapons, but 6 months ago, we were assured our last strike on Iran decimated their nuclear program. So which is it? I think the most candid answer came from the Secretary of State, who told the press that Israel forced our hand and dragged us into this war. Again. And that truth is the very reason why it is Congress that must decide war. If American lives are to be risked and American blood is to be shed, that decision must be debated and voted on by the representatives of the American people, and that debate is meant to be arduous, and that vote is meant to be hard. I have a theory. I think my colleagues don't want to go on record because we have a terrible track record of meddling in the Middle East. They don't want their name associated with this when it doesn't turn out well. But Congress cannot be bothered with its constitutional duty because for many in this chamber, it's easier to simply allow someone else's sons and daughters to be sent to combat without their vote. And to be clear, we aren't even here to declare war today. All we're voting on is a war powers resolution to reassert the Constitution that Congress must decide questions of war. And if Congress wants war, then the Speaker should hold a vote to declare it. Some say Congress authorizes war when we pay for it, when we pass the budget bill. Here's the problem. We haven't taken on the hard work of defining the mission for our sons and daughters who are going to fight. That's not in the budget bill. It never is. And to the men and women who are engaged in combat, I sincerely thank you, and I pray for your safety. It is for you that I wrote this resolution. It is for you that all of us are here on this floor working so hard to force this vote so that you will have a clear mission that you deserve, so that you will know when you achieve it, you can come home.
That's it for me. Thank you very much for your support of this platform and our journalism. If you haven't subscribed to my channel, please do so, because that's one of the many ways you can support independent journalism. God bless you all.